Rosenberg and Ken Nash. We're headed to South Africa.
Attention! Attention! Who left? Right? Who? Come on, sir! Who left? Come on! Get on, man! Hey, Amaruma! Amaruma! Hey, Amaruma! Asicha! Thank you, man!
Well, we have the Toy Toy to set the pace for Irvin Jim, General Secretary of the National Union of Metal Workers of South Africa, NUMSA, the biggest single trade union in South Africa. He's a strong critic of the ruling African National Congress, which he accuses of failing to implement the 1955 Freedom Charter.
Jim suggests that the leadership of the ANC as supporting a post-apartheid neoliberal capitalist South Africa, with South African and multinational corporations and the South African white political community. Jim suggests that NUMSA is a union whose goal is the creation of a socialist republic of South Africa.
Hey, thank you for joining us. Tell us what May Day looked like in South Africa and the message from your mighty, mighty union, NUMSA.
Well, I think for us, May Day was a bit of a mixed feeling in that we came before. I mean, COSATU, which has crumbled, could not have its own May Day. It used to be a socialist COSATU, which was heroic when it was formed by workers in 1985. But obviously, because the path we chose as a country to champion development is a path that has left blacks and Africans remaining economically marginalized and dispossessed, being landless. The land question, which derived way back before the Land Act of 1913, basically has not been addressed in the country. There were targets that were set that we would have half unemployment by 2014, inequality by 2014, would have undone the bucket system. We would have restored back about 30% of the land. All of these targets were never met in 2014. And the reality of the situation is that the bulk majority of the people of this country, who are blacks and Africans, continue to be at the bottom of the food chain, while a tiny minority, which is basically white population and multinationals, continues to swim in wealth. There has been no socialism or radical economic transformation that has been implemented in this country for the past two decades. We almost have a view that a deal was done with capital, that basically what the ANC government would have done would be to run the budget, but even that budget, it can't be more than the 25% of the GDP. And the economy would have been left intact. And anyone who knows South African economies about minerals, energy, and finance complex, despite the ANC, which has been a liberation movement that have basically led us to defeat the apartheid regime, using four pillars of our struggle: mass mobilization, underground structures of our movement, isolation of South Africa on trade, and then including the military infrastructure as a result of support of countries who were quick to understand that racism and apartheid, as it was practiced, was a crime against humanity. So yes, we celebrated May Day as a union that has been dismissed in 2014, as a union that said, look, if we are dismissed and we continue to be a union that is growing, we needed to find home for workers. And indeed, in last weekend, we launched, the week before the last, we launched a new federation called SAFTU, which is now a banner for workers, which is both a shield and a spear in the forest. That's what we will be building. And workers of COSATU would have assembled in Bloemfontein, where basically the Central Committee of COSATU would have taken a decision that Zuma must step down. But the leadership of COSATU continued to say, look, I mean, its president attended the birthday party, and he said Zuma must be strong. The next thing, he was invited to address the May Day, and workers basically refused to listen to him. As a result, the May Day could not continue. Just before I speak to you now, I had a debate with Power FM in the country, a radio station which is well received by many South Africans. I was raising the issue that there seemed to be similarities between NUMSA, 340,000 workers were dismissed by the leadership of COSATU for simply saying we need to have a discussion because this alliance was not benefiting the workers and the poor. Every election after 5 years, we continue to vote the ANC into power, but the beneficiary of the freedom continues to be a tiny minority and white monopolies that are dominant. And you would appreciate this, that one of the things that these monopolies would have done was to make the ANC to endorse these policies that liberalize trade, that allowed, that basically led to dumping of production from other countries, leading to serious levels of deindustrialization. Secondly, they would have removed exchange control, allowing money this country disparately needed to be invested in productive sectors of the economy to create jobs. And for you in the United States, you shouldn't be surprised. Today you got Trump, not because he's your best leader, but because he's basically raising the issue about jobs. And that's what we have been raising. That's what we have been raising. And as a result, look, we were dismissed. We're now working on alternatives. We have formed a united front. We've got a couple of municipalities where we are participating. We will be rolling structures for the new workers' party. We are not in a rush, but we want a workers' party that must continue to align itself with the struggles of workers and the poor. And by the way, I should tell you that because Zuma would have moved ahead and decided to reshuffle the Minister of Finance because he wanted to introduce a nuclear deal with the Russians in the country. As a result, the country, as we speak, is on a junk status. It's on a junk status because of rating agents. Today, we were actually saying we completely reject that white monopolies and their rating agencies could actually, when they are the most beneficiaries of the South African economy, it is them who generated wealth. On what basis can, because two factions of capital, the one that has maintained the status quo, where the working class continues to be at the bottom of the food chain, and the one, and now, and the one grouping of capital that worked with President Zuma called the Guptas, that they are fighting together. As a result of that, the working class and the poor, the economy is basically thrown on a junk status, and the victims, obviously, will be workers and the poor. So that's the context under which we celebrated May Day in South Africa.
In this fight against Zuma and also COSATU, who were your allies both in the labor movement and in community groups throughout the country? I know there's great dissatisfaction, but are there any organized groupings?
A very important union, which used to be called in the olden days Food and Canning, which is FAU, Food and Allied Workers Union today, is but one solid union with big numbers that broke out of COSATU, that stood together and with us. The rest are completely new unions, are unions that would have broken away from the teachers' union, are unions that have broken away from the municipal workers. When I say they break away, they didn't just break away voluntarily. They were dismissed. They targeted a revolutionary core. All the people who would have fought against apartheid, they would have been targeted, selected, and then be dismissed. Because the ANC needed to make sure that the new national development plan, which is nothing, which is a continuation of the status quo, because they were not willing to implement radical economic transformation and we continue to say gear, they needed to give something to us as the working class to say, listen, we have moved away from gear. There's a new national development plan. It does not talk about restructuring South African economy. It does not talk about addressing fundamentals of ownership and control of the economy. It does not deal with issues of nationalization of minerals under worker control and beneficiate them. Because in our honest view, if South Africa is to be pulled out of this quagmire, you can only succeed to do that if you are able to release all energy of the people of this country who are both black and white. And the only way of doing that is to make sure that you affirm the majority to be part of ownership, not only to live on the basis of 1910 super exploitation of a deal between English and Afrikaner capital, that black people who are African, they can only be super exploited by paying them starvation wages. Yes, we almost in all sectors of the economy, there are new unions, and those unions are growing, and they will grow with us. Of course, the principle in the new federation, we're building a worker-controlled union that runs democratically, that accounts to workers.
Irvin Jim, are you speaking about the newly, what I understand to be the newly launched trade union grouping called the Federation of Trade Unions? If you are, tell us a little bit more about who is being organized, what sectors of the working class are coming under that ambit, and how you, with a message that is so far advanced to what the unions are saying in this country, how you really begin through organized labor to advance and convince society that capitalism has failed and a new worker-centered economic dispensation is required.
I guess the United States of America is a good example. I would argue that if you go to Chicago, which I visited, there is an area which used to employ about 40,000 workers, and today there's absolutely no jobs there. The whole question of shifting of production from high-cost areas to low-cost areas, because all over the world, there is no government, there's no trade union, there's no labor movement that controls capital mobility. Capital moved from one nation state to another nation state when basically it landed. We call them that there is an investment. But what drives that movement is not about to give people of that nation state jobs. It is about where capital can maximize profit. And therefore, globalization, which is nothing else but imperialism in an advanced form, capital had to redefine how it will regain the lost profit. And at all material times, capital makes profits when there is drought. Capital during boom and during bust, capital makes money. They don't compromise their own profit. And therefore, the system of capitalism, as we know it, is a system of greed. It advances maximization of profit when, in fact, what we believe in, we think that the world today is in a state of a crisis. I mean, it's bombing. I mean, these days I feel extremely unsafe being in Europe. I was in Switzerland, and it was so funny. I couldn't get a place to stay in Geneva. I ended up staying in France. And I must say, I was looking around. I was like, and when I look at the TV, I saw a right wing, should I say this, in a very sensitive way, a right wing woman. And I don't know how does a woman, when we're supposed to be dealing with patriarchy of us men, but I saw a right wing woman advocating in France. And I must say, I was very traumatized. Of course, there is somebody who's championing a left program and so forth as an alternative. But when I asked around, do you support him? They say, no, we do, not because we have anything we can advance, but he's not racist. We think we can work with him. What am I actually saying? I'm saying we are in a situation all over the world as the working class that we got nothing to lose, only our chains. The working class must unite. And the best way of uniting, it is not just to say, look, we are part of an international movement. It is to build structures on the ground. It is to champion the agenda in the best interest of our own people in our own different nation states. And on the basis of that, we must be able to build solidarity. We must promote worker-to-worker conduct and union-to-union conduct, because what we really should be advancing rather than greed is humanity.
And would you say that the people who came out, and maybe you can give us some idea of how many came out really in any one place in South Africa, the people that came out, are they beginning to pick up a message that you are delivering through NOMSA, that the goal of a union must be to create a socialist republic of South Africa? And we are speaking with Ervin Jim, General Secretary of the National Union of Metalworkers of South Africa, with its more than 350,000 members.
Can I say that I think the struggle for socialism is a very long, unending journey, but we should champion it now. Workers and the people do not fight for big things in our heads. I would argue that in the immediate, whilst our vision is socialism, the kind of demands we are advancing today are the basic demands that are about advancing humanity. We are arguing that in this country, the United States, the British, and all the countries in the North, they grew their economy at the back of fossil fuels. And we're clear that there is a need to move, if we must avoid global warming, there is a need to move from fossil fuels to renewables. But it can't be that the introduction of renewables is a second phase of our recolonization. Why it can be that the knowledge and knowledge production and the technology that is being used must also be about to ensure that it is produced locally. And as such, we think that we do need a socially owned renewable sector which can also create jobs in South Africa. We know, I mean, this country used to have its own competitive advantage being energy. We lost that when our own Eskom, which is a public utility for energy, basically decided to take its own coal mines and handed them over to the private sector, and they get mined at cost plus three. And then the second thing that followed was that that became the case because we were resisting privatization. And the next thing that followed, because they needed to look good to the IMF and World Bank, they chased the balance sheet. As a result, in this country, one of the biggest challenges that we have is huge electricity tariffs that have caused serious problems to small, medium-sized companies. We have witnessed factories closing and so forth. In fact, in 1994, contribution of manufacturing in the GDP was about 20%. Today, it is less than 10%. Surely, anybody who continues to punt the same policies anybody who continue to give us the same prescription which is killing us, with the result being serious levels of deindustrialization, we should be actually be saying that surely there's something wrong in the head of this person. And basically, and that very same prescription, the people who, as I said, I mean, what GIA did was to liberalize trade, to dump production, to destroy jobs, and all those things. But the rating agencies, despite the fact that there's no socialism we have implemented in this country, despite the fact that the ANC has been their leader in front line of defending and pursuing policies that are protecting and defending and protecting the wealth of white wealth, not to be devaluated. I mean, you've got a reserve bank in this country that is targeting inflation and not jobs, and maintaining high interest rates because we allow the money to leave the country. And the only option to attract capital inflows is to keep those interest rates very, very high. Yes, we are. That's a struggle that we're fighting. We're fighting a struggle to defend the current capacity for manufacturing, to fight for a job-led industrial strategy, because we feel very boldly that is the future. It is the future for the United States, in our view. It is the future for all of us. And that's a struggle that we think that we need to begin to connect on what should we be trading on. For instance, if you were in this country, you were to take a decision tomorrow and say that you will ban exportation of chrome ore, which produces ferrochrome, which goes to stainless steel. All our furnaces in our smelters will operate in full capacity. In fact, you will attract foreign direct investment that we desperately need. China does not have chrome ore, but it has smelters at the back of our own chrome ore, meaning that we are exporting jobs to China. When our people are dying of poverty, when township schools are still inferior township schools with absolutely no infrastructure. And I want to argue that anybody who claims that, look, capitalism is correct, why black people, Africans, in 2 decades of their democracy, they're still victims of squalor and poor condition. We're number one as a country in terms of inequality. And when we want solutions, people give us the same prescriptions that are directly responsible for our misery.
Well, we want to...
You're asking the question, which sectors? NUMSA is the biggest union in the country and in the continent now. We are a union in the manufacturing sector. Because capital has restructured its production because it continuously revolutionizes production forces, as a union, we had to actually open up the scope and organize along the value chain. That's one reason why we were dismissed in COSATU. The second reason why we were dismissed in COSATU was to say that Zuma must go because his government has been moving from one scandal to another. His SOEs are basically being mired with cronyism and corruption. And we were demanding today that we want all those new boards of SOEs to be reset up. Trade unions must sit in the board, government must sit in the board, business and labor in a transparent way. And we should be championing localization, and that we must do away with these tenders. I mean, we used to have, during the Nationalist Party, maize board, wool board, a state that intervened in the economy. It created jobs for Afrikaners, not for all of us. But in a democracy, we needed a more state that should intervene the economy. We needed a state that will build proper houses that restore our dignity. Not small houses. I'm not sure when last you have visited South Africa. You're sleeping in a house, but your whole legs are outside the house because it's a small dinghy which basically undermines your own dignity, and you can't reclaim that. But what is even more worse for us, blacks and Africans in this country, we are not part of the economy. We are marginalized. We can only live under super exploitation. And the very Cyril Ramaphosa, who sees himself as the future president, is the one who is basically championing a national minimum wage, which allow apartheid colonial wage to continue, because he's saying workers must be paid $3,500. When, in fact, where he had an interest, his own government massacred workers in Marikana for demanding $12,500.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. We've given you some of the flavor of May Day in South Africa, the issues there. which have been largely unaired here, except for WBAI. We've been speaking with Irvin Jim, the General Secretary of the National Union of Metal Workers of South Africa, NOMSA, the 350,000 worker strong union that is looking to create a socialist republic in South Africa. Irvin Jim, thank you for spending some time after a very busy day with us.
Well, thank you very much. I could only say that we liberated ourselves from racism as the result of international solidarity. Surely for us to be able to defend the gains of the revolution and to advance, we still need that solidarity more than anything else. Thank you.
And you certainly have it. Again, Irvin Jim, for all that you do, General Secretary of the National Union of Metal Workers of South Africa, who sets a different pace for organizing. Not only do we have to give a solidarity, we have a lot to learn. Solidarity Forever, sung South African style. Has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash, and log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.